Blog Talk Radio.
There in podcast land, welcome. This is a Hodge to Hodge podcast. This is the Messenger Edition. This is Nurse Carmen, and we have co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge. And now we'll have a conversation with the Messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and welcome to this Sunday's edition of our conversation. As we were playing our opening soundtrack, the word says that I need you and you need me, because
Amen.
we are all part of the body. And one of the things that we have to begin to do is pay attention to what is actually being said. Now, I say that to tell you what I'm going to tell you now in this conversation may be very difficult for some people to understand and accept. It's going to violate much of what is held as truth in your present thought system. Yet, I cannot let you go on living with these constructions if these conversations are to serve us. So we must now meet some of these concepts head on. But it's going to be bumpy going here for a while. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you this. There are no rotten apples. There
Amen.
Are only people. There are only people who disagree with your point of view on things. People who construct a different model of the world. I'm going to tell you this: no person do anything inappropriate given their model. Model is all messed up. I know that what's right and wrong, and because some other people don't. They don't make me crazy because I do. They're the ones who are crazy. I'm sorry to say that's exactly the attitude which starts wars. That what I, you know, but we have to understand that everyone has their idea of life, how they want their life to be. So because it differs from ours, it does not make them rotten apples. So you can tell them that people's ideas of right and wrong change and have changed over and over again from culture to culture, time period to time period, religion to religion, place to place, even from family to family and person to person. You could point out to them that what many people consider right at one time, burning people at the stakes for what was considered witchcraft, as an example, is considered wrong today. You could tell them that a definition of right and wrong is a definition established not only by time, but also by simple geographics. You can allow them to notice that some activities on this earth, prostitution, for instance, are legal in one place and just a few miles down the road, legal in another. And so whether a person is judged as having done something wrong is not a matter of what that person has actually done, but of what he has done it. I'm sorry, but where he has done it. Now, I'm going to repeat something that I say here all the time. And I've said this to us quite a few times, but I'm going to say it again, just so that you can better understand where I'm coming from on this. You ready? Hitler went to heaven. Ooh, got quiet. Okay, that's good. But yes, Hitler went to heaven. Now imagine that. Hitler went to heaven. Now, just so you know, the purpose of these conversations is to create readiness for a new paradigm, a new understanding, a larger view, a grander idea. First, he could not have gone to hell because hell does not exist. Therefore, there is only one place left to which he could have gone. But that begs the question. The real issue is whether Hitler's actions were wrong. Yet I have to say over and over again that there is no right or wrong in the universe. The thing is not instinctively right or wrong. It simply is. Now, your thoughts on Hitler was a monster is based on the fact that he ordered killing of millions of people, correct?
Yep.
Yet, what if I told you that what you call death is the greatest thing that could happen to anyone? What then? You think that life on earth is better than life in heaven?
No.
Well, I tell you this. At the moment of your death, you will realize the greatest freedom, the greatest peace, the greatest joy, and the greatest love you have ever known. Shall we therefore punish Briar Fox for throwing Briar Rabbit into the briar patch?
That's not.
First of all, just remember this. We are not here to learn anything. Life is not a school, and your purpose here is not to learn. It is to remember. And on your larger point, life is often cut short by many things. Hurricanes and earthquake. And then you say that's different. You're talking about an act of God. Every event is an act of God. Do you imagine that an event could take place if God did not want it to? Do you think that you could so much as lift your little finger if God chose for you not to? You can do nothing if God is against it. Yet let us continue to explore the idea of wrongful death together. Is it wrong for a life to be cut short by a disease? What about an accident, a stupid accident? The fact that you don't understand it is evidence of God's will. The fact that it happens is not evidence of God's will. Do you believe in God's will, that God is all-powerful?
Yes.
Except where Hitler was concerned? What happened? There was not God. That was not God's will.
That was Hitler's will, and Hitler's will is God's will.
Okay. All right. You've been listening, Nurse Carmen. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but a lot of people would say no, that wasn't God's will. And
right.
But how can that be? How can Hitler violate the will of God? Now, how do you think he could do that if God's will is all powerful? So you said God
Don't
allowed
we have
him to.
Free will?
So that means God allowed him to, right?
That's right. Right.
So if he allowed him to, then it was his will that it should be. So your free will is free will because God allows it. So it would seem that way, but what possible reason could God have? If it was God's will that we have free choice, it was his will that he do what he did. As Sister T was saying. But you're close. You're right, of course. It was God's will that Hitler, that all of you have free choice. But it is not God's will that you be punished unceasingly, unending, if you do not make the choice that God wants you to make. If that were the case, how free have God made your choices? Are you really free to do what you want if you know you'll be made to suffer unspeakably if you do not do what God wants? What kind of choice is that? Now, some say it's not a question of punishment, it's just natural law. It's simply a question of consequences. Then I see what, and this is part of what religion has done, constructed that allows you not to hold God as a vengeful God without making him responsible for it. But who made these natural laws? And if we can agree that God put them into place, why should God put into place such laws and give you the power to overcome them? And if God didn't want you affected by them, if it was God's will that his wonderful beings never suffered, why would God create the possibility that you could? And then why would God continue to tempt you day and night to break the laws that he set down? But then you say, well, God don't tempt us, the devil does. And I say, there we go again, making God not responsible. Mm-hmm. Don't you see that the only way you can rationalize theology is to render God powerless? Do you understand that the only way your construction makes sense is if God's don't? Are you really comfortable with the idea of a God who creates a being whose actions it cannot control? Then you might say, you wouldn't say that he couldn't control the devil. You can control everything. You're God. It's just that you choose not to. You allow the devil to tempt us to try to win our souls. But why? Why would God do that? God don't want you to not return to him. Because then you say, because you want us to come to God out of choice, not because there is no choice. You set up heaven and hell so there could be a choice. So we could act out of choosing and not out simply of following a path because there is no other. Now, I can see how you can come to this idea. That's how it's set up in our world. And so we think that's how it is in God's world. In your reality, God cannot exist without, I'm sorry, in our reality, good cannot exist without bad. So you believe it must be the same in God's world. I tell you this, there is no bad where God is, and there is no evil. There is only the awe of everything. the oneness and the awareness, the experience of that. God is the realm of absolute, where one thing does not exist in relation to another, but quite independent of everything. God is the place where all there is love. And then you say, and there are no consequences to anything we think, say, or do on earth, but there are consequences. Look around you. There is no death. Life goes on forever and ever. Life is the simple changing form. After you change form, consequences cease to exist. There is just knowing. Consequences are an element of relativity. They have no place in the absolute because they depend on linear time and sequential events. These do not exist in the realm of the absolute. In that realm, there is naught but peace and joy and love. In that realm, you will know at last the good news that your devil does not exist, that you are who you always thought you were, goodness and love. Your ideas that you might be something else has come from an insane outer world, causing you to act insanely, an outer world of judgment and condemnation. Others have judged you, and for their judgment, you have judged yourself. Now you want God to judge you, and God will not do it. And because you cannot understand a God who will not act as humans would, you are lost. Your theology is your attempt to find yourself again. And everything depends on what you perceive to be the purpose of life. And therefore, the basis of the theology, if you believe life exists as a test, a trial, a period of putting your thoughts, your paces to see if you are worthy, your theology begins to make sense. If you believe that life exists as an opportunity, a process through which you discover, remember that you are worthy and have always been, then your theology seems insane. This is why when we speak to other people that believe in Christianity, Catholic or Jewish, when you speak to them, they look at you like you're crazy. If you believe God is an ego-filled God who requires attention, adoration, appreciation, and affection, and will kill to get it, your theology starts to hold together. We've all experienced one form of religion or another, and all of those religions, isn't that what it teaches us? That God is ego-filled, requires attention. You got to be on your knees praying to Him 24/7. You got to be worshiping Him.
Yep.
Isn't that what religion teaches us? But if you believe that God is without ego or need, but the source of all things and the seed of all wisdom and love, then they're going to look at you like you're crazy again. If you believe that God is a vengeful God, jealous in His love and wrath in His anger, then religion works again. But if you believe God is a peaceful God, joyous in her love and passion, in her ecstasy, then religion doesn't work again. It doesn't work again for two reasons. Because I said her. That's all.
Right.
That's all automatically a no-no. But I tell you this. The purpose of life is not to please God. The purpose of life is to know and to recreate who you are. In
Amen.
Doing so, you do please God and glorify her as well.
Mm.
Now, as I'm learning to, I keep saying she, her. And you got to understand this. God is neither a he nor a she. God occasionally used the female pronoun to jar out of you your parochial thinking. If you think God is one thing, then you will think God is not another, and that would be a large mistake. Hitler went to heaven for these reasons. There is no hell, so there is no place else for him to go. His actions were what you would call mistakes, the actions of an unevolved being. And mistakes are not punishable by condemnation, but dealt with by providing the chance for correction or evolution. The mistakes Hitler made did no harm or damage to those who death he caused. Those souls were released from their earthly bondage like butterflies emerging from a cocoon. The people who were left behind mourn those deaths only because they do not know of the joy into which those souls entered. No one who has experienced death ever mourned the death of another one. So the statement that their deaths were nevertheless untimely and therefore somehow wrong suggests that something could happen in the universe when it is not supposed to. Yet, given who and what God is, that is impossible. Everything occurs in the universe is occurring perfectly. God hasn't made a mistake in a very long time. When you see the utter perfection in everything, not just those things with which you agree, but with perhaps especially those things with which you disagree, this is when you begin to achieve mastery. So we need to begin to look at this and understand this and glorify death. I know this sounds coming from a human that there's something wrong, but no, we need to glorify death once we understand the bigger picture. We all know within our spirit, within our heart, that it's more to it than what's here. And we've got to be big enough to understand that whatever happens in this short period of time, no matter how 100 years, what do you think 100 years is to God? Hello, is this my God?
The blink of an eye.
A blink of an eye, my brother.
The blink of an eye. So what I'm saying in that is, so when we, even if we spend 100 years here on this earth, do you really think that blink of an eye determines your totality? But because of religion, theology, we've accepted their concepts instead of the concept in which it is. And even in their writings tell us this, but because of the way they've interpreted it, we choose to look the other way. A good example is with the opening song, I need you, you need me, because we are all part of the body. And what we overlooked was the all. Instead of understanding all is everything, we take as everybody that go to church on Sunday. But all is all. And so if we do a better job at understanding the literature that has been provided to us. I mean, everybody walk around here talking about Jesus. You know what I mean? Talking about Jesus, how great he was. He got all the power. Jesus told us this. Buddha told us this. Martin Luther King told us this. The messenger Rondaya told us this. But we still fail to take heed. Instead, we want to look to, as they would say, to the hills for something that's already within us. And here's the part that we've got to be mindful of. There are times that each and every one of us have went within and allowed God to use us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was such a great feeling. Can I get an amen, Sister T? It was such a great feeling.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay? But after that, we didn't need him anymore. We went on with our daily hustle bustle about the different going ons in the world, and we put him on the back burner again. But that experience that we felt when we allowed the Spirit to use us was fantastic. No, it didn't have us running down the aisles, having us falling all over the floors and stuff, like they want you to believe what happens.
Mm.
But that is part of the mentality that they become to believe, because that's what they were taught. Now, each and every one of us that have had that experience with God, how many times did anybody just fall on the floor and start kicking? Huh? How many times has that happened to any of us?
Not a one.
You go sit up in a church somewhere, mainly Baptist, or you know what I'm saying. You go sit up in there and you hit one key on the piano and all of a sudden they just running crazy. So what we have to understand is that we are part of the body of God, and we are here to create the best you that you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say create the best you that you can be, there is no limitations on that. There is no specific guidelines on what the best you is. So I say that to say, if you want to be the best dancer, you can be that. And if you really stop and think about it, all of those that have put their heart and mind and soul into being the best, whatever they decided they wanted to be, they've done extremely well.
That's right.
Just so that my co-producer can feel involved, LeBron James wanted to be the best basketball player he could be. Huh?
He did it. Yes, he did.
Right.
Look what it has brought him. Now, look at Jay-Z. Jay-Z wanted to be the best rapper. He put his mind to it. Look what it brought him. Now, people may not like the way that he's living his life, but I don't think he got complaints with it.
No, don't.
And secretly, there are a lot of people that wish that they could trade with him. It's about who you want to be. But we can't be who we want to be because we're following this map that religion and people have put before us. In order for us to be the best God-like person, we've got to carry a Bible with us everywhere we go. And, you know, I've got to hold them off, and hopefully we'll be able to get back to this on Thursday. I'm running into my co-producer's time. So I turn this over to my co-producer as he have his final words and begin to close this out. I love you all. Have a great week realizing just who you
love
are.
Love you too, messenger.
Hey, good evening. Hey, as always, powerful words from our brother the messenger, from our brother the messenger.
Amen.
And again, we talk about glorifying death. Don't confuse that with the act of dying. And he just said, you know, again, when it is believed that when you die, you go to the Creator. So that would be a glorious moment. But the act of dying, that won't require any glorification. As we try to, just differentiate or bifurcate between glorifying death and understanding the act of dying. So, but listen, I really appreciate you hanging out with us tonight on The Messenger on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be back again Thursday night. And again, it is our intent and our desire to continually inundate you with the word that God's Spirit lives inside of you, and you have phenomenal power once you understand and tap into your own resource. This is co-producer and Hodge to Hodge Blog Talk Radio saying good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.